Senator Bennett, thanks so much for joining us here today. Let's talk about why you're here and what you're hearing from people in Southwest Colorado.
I'm here to have conversations in Durango and Silverton, and then we're heading over to Pagosa Springs, back over to the San Luis Valley. I have conversations with folks about the challenges that people are facing in their communities with COVID, with the economy, with the influx of people during COVID into our rural areas of the state, and what that means for workforce housing prices, what it means for, you know, the people that live in the community. So as always, the conversations have been incredibly inspiring, because people, whether they're dealing with the Gold King spill or whether they're dealing with COVID, people in this part of the state come together to solve their problems, to meet their challenges, and to seize new opportunities. And that's what I've seen everywhere I've gone.
Are there issues that are unique to this area that the rest of Colorado doesn't face?
Definitely. I mean, I was in Silverton. There are obviously just a few hundred people that live there, but they've been inundated with people from around the state, including folks in the Front Range. And the Forest Service and the BLM just don't have the budgets to be able to patrol the public lands in a way that makes sure that they're being used properly and in a way that's consistent with the values that local people want. That's a good example of something that's different here than it is on the Front Range. I think also, you know, water is obviously always a huge issue here. We've got a lot of people facing drought, and that's another challenge. And climate expresses itself differently here than in some places on the Front Range, because you see it in the form of fires that are close to where people live. So these are the sorts of issues. I think more broadly, actually, we share many, many similarities. I mean, if I had to summarize my town halls for the last 10 years traveling the state of Colorado, it's really easy to do. It's people saying, you know, Michael, we're working really, really hard, but we can't afford some combination of housing, healthcare, higher education, or early childhood education. We feel like our kids are they live lives less good than ours, and we're having a hard time living a middle class life. That's the challenge that we're facing all over America right now. It's a challenge that Donald Trump has done nothing to address, and I think it's the work that is going to have to be done over the next 25 years or so to make sure that we've got an economy that, when it grows for everybody, not just the people at the very top. We've got an education system that works better for everybody, and that we see the kind of economic mobility that people commonly in years past associated with the American dream, but haven't really seen in recent years.
I'd like to pivot for a moment and speak to your experience of being a former superintendent of the Denver Public Schools and navigating for school districts across this state of the struggles of education in times of a global pandemic.
Well, I think our teachers have one of the hardest jobs there is when there isn't a pandemic. Having a pandemic makes it even harder, and it's been tough. You know, every single conversation I've had with teachers over the course of the pandemic since last March, you know, on the phone or Zoom or in person, many of them have ended in tears because they're so worried about, you know, whether we're serving kids well. They're so worried because there's so little predictability, because we haven't had a national approach to testing and contact tracing and ultimately the vaccination. And I understand why they're worried, because, you know, we should be, instead of having spent the summer asking, well, are we going to open school or not open school, open our business, not open our business, we should have a plan as a country about how we're going to open and keep stuff open, including our schools. And that would look like a much more aggressive public health infrastructure than the one that the president has presented to us. And I hope that's what it's going to be going forward. The second thing I want to say is on education is, it's not surprising to me, but one of the things that's really worrisome to educators in Southwest Colorado and in rural parts of our state is the lack of access to broadband and the lack of equitable access to broadband. We spent a lot of money in this country theoretically building broadband to rural areas, and it really has not succeeded. And so about a month or 6 weeks ago, I introduced a new bill called the Bridge Act that would change the way we approach that work. It would allow the federal government to fund counties and municipalities to do the work that historically has been left to the big telecom companies to do, and they haven't done it. They've been happy to take the subsidies, but they haven't delivered internet speeds that people in rural America need to keep their businesses thriving and to keep their schools open. And when you live in at a time when some kids have access to the internet and other kids don't, or high-speed internet and other kids don't, it's tantamount to saying you got one group of kids that have access to textbooks and another group that don't have access to textbooks. That's not right. It's not right in the 21st century. It's not right in Colorado. It's something we can address. And actually, some of the best work around that stuff has been done on the west slope of Colorado. I mean, in the whole country, if not the world, by the Delta Montrose Electrical Association, who are now delivering world-class internet speed. It was their work that we based the bill that I wrote on.
I'd be curious to hear more about that, as certainly here on Indigenous Peoples Day, Senator Bennett, the disparities in our Indigenous lands through COVID and through the inequities of the digital divide in regards to education and really the overall knowledge base of spreading of information about the health and safety of COVID-19. It's an interesting dynamic of what this is showing up to our tribal nations.
There's a reason why the bill specifically designates funding for our tribes, and the reason for that is that I've heard from the Ute Mountain Ute and Southern Ute tribe about the digital divide that you're describing. This is the first major proposal there's been in Washington to try to fix that.
Senator Bennett, is there anything else that you'd like to add for our listeners here today?
I'd say a couple things. One way or another, we're going to get the Colorado Outdoor Recreation Act passed, the CORE Act. It's called, and I think we might have a chance of getting at them this year, that 400,000 acres of public land in Colorado that will be protected for the uses that are made available by them now, but protected for all time. We've got great support from county commissions across the West Slope for that bill, and I'm really excited the prospect of passing it. And basically, the only thing I want your listeners to know from me is how important it is for them to vote. Every single person that is eligible to vote in this state should register to vote. You still can if you're not registered. And every single person who has not cast a vote should cast a vote. The democracy can't be left in the hands of other people. And when we vote, we make sure our voice is heard. And the more of us that vote, the more of our voices are heard. I mean, you think about the fact that in our country, only about 50% of the people vote. You get that number up to 70 or 80%. There's so much we could do. So I just encourage everybody to make a plan, get to the polls, get your friends to the polls. Let's make Colorado the number one turnout state in the country. We were number two in 2018. I have bet my colleague from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, a six-pack of craft beer that Colorado is going to be number one. I don't want to have to drink that Minnesota beer. I want to drink Colorado craft beer.
Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT.